Callie, Skylar, AJ, Carrie, Hunter. This is a bittersweet day for me. It's great because we have five amazing people to honor for their accomplishments and the hard work that they've done to get to the place that they are right now. But it's also hard because as their youth minister, we're sending off five amazing people who have impacted our church, our youth group, and my life in profound and extraordinary ways. I am personally thankful for each and every one of them, and I remain convinced that God blessed me with their lives, their hearts, and their love. Callie, Skylar, AJ, Carrie, Hunter. I first met Callie Adams on a Sunday morning when she walked into the youth room with her brother and her sister. And my favorite band, Need to Breathe, was playing over the speakers, and Callie looked at me and she asked, "Is this Need to Breathe?" And I immediately knew that we were going to be really good friends. Callie is kind, she is gentle, she has a servant heart, and most importantly, Callie loves Jesus passionately. Callie is the one that I would look for during class time to replace the awkward silence with a wise and thoughtful answer. Callie, this church loves you, and Jesus loves you. When I met Skylar Hunter, it was during Impact at Lipscomb University in 2013. I had just accepted this youth ministry job here, and I was walking across campus, and I saw Skylar, his brother Jake, and a bunch of other students walking across campus at Impact. And after introducing myself to Skylar and talking for a second, I walked over to rejoin the group that I was interning at that time. And Skylar immediately looked at Jake and said, "I don't like that guy." And I might be wrong, but I think Skylar likes me now. But if he doesn't, I like Skylar a lot. Skylar is a leader. He is wise. He is exceedingly thoughtful, and most importantly, Skylar loves Jesus passionately. Skylar's the one who could have the youth group laughing at one moment and then applauding an amazing thought the next. Skylar, this church loves you, and Jesus loves you. When I first met AJ Pittman, I asked him if he played football. And I was not surprised when he said yes. AJ's a big dude, and when he puts football pads on, he is a bigger, scarier dude. But if you meet AJ anywhere other than a football field, you will find out that he has a heart of pure gold. AJ loves people, and people love AJ. The reason why AJ was voted best smile by his senior class was because he has an incredible smile, but he also has the gift of making others smile. I'll never forget the little girl that we met on our Atlanta mission trip. Her name was Chloe with a K, and on Monday, she did not like AJ, but on Friday, you couldn't pry her from AJ. Chloe with a K loved AJ, much like everyone who meets AJ loves AJ. AJ is strong, he is passionate, he loves people, and most importantly, AJ loves Jesus passionately. AJ is the one who could kick your butt on the football field but give you the best hug right after the game. AJ, this church loves you. And Jesus loves you. I met Carrie Ralhuth on a Sunday morning not too long ago. When she walked into the youth room, I introduced myself and she introduced herself, and she immediately told me that she was cousins with Wes Claiborne. And I looked at her and I said, I'm so, so sorry. Carrie is blunt, but in a very good way. I had the chance to hang out with Carrie at Winterfest this year, and on Saturday night, I asked her if she was having a good time, and her answer was, yesterday, no. But today, God has shown me why I'm here right now. Carrie is always looking for ways in which she can make God's kingdom more visible to those around her. She texted me recently and asked me if there were any service opportunities that she could participate in because she just wanted to help someone out. Carrie has a servant heart. She is very mature. She is wise beyond her years. And most importantly, Carrie loves Jesus passionately. Carrie's the one who delivers honesty when it's needed most. Carrie, this church loves you, and Jesus loves you. When I met Hunter Smith, I immediately knew that I was going to like him a lot. Mostly because he played basketball, but also because he really, really, really liked Pokemon. And over the last year and a half, Hunter would randomly text me and say, hey, I'm coming over. And there was one day when Hunter came over on a Sunday afternoon, and we sat on my couch playing PlayStation, and after a little time had passed, we looked down at the clock on our phone, and we had been playing this game for 4 hours. That's what happens when you spend time with Hunter. Time becomes a blur because he's fun to be around. Hunter is caring. He loves to have a good time. He brings joy with him wherever he goes. And most importantly, Hunter loves Jesus passionately. Hunter is the only one who could drag me from my apartment at 9 o'clock at night to go see a Dragon Ball Z movie. Hunter, this church loves you, and Jesus loves you. Callie, Skylar, AJ, Carrie, Hunter. I'd like to ask all the seniors to just stand up for a moment. Come on, stand up. Don't be shy. Let's give it up for them, everybody. Y'all can sit down. We also have two other seniors that I'd like to acknowledge. One is Megan Jesse, and the other is Hunter Shaw. They've been an integral part in our youth group, and I'd like to give it up for them too. Yeah. I'm someone who likes to think about big questions. I love nothing more than sitting outside on my back patio behind my apartment with a cup of coffee, a pen, and a journal. Where it's in these moments when I can purge my mind of all the questions, the doubts, the worries, the stresses. Anything that's in my mind just starts pouring out, and somehow, through the way that God designed me, it ends up on paper. I think. And I write, and I think, and I write, and I think a little more, and I write a little more. And the other day, I was thinking, and I was writing, and a question came to me. And it wasn't one of those little questions like, what am I going to have for breakfast this morning? No, this one was a big one. This was one of those questions that comes up in your mind and you get a funny feeling in your stomach because you don't really know the answer to that question. The question that I asked was, so, what's next? Have you ever asked yourself this question? Usually this question comes up after something monumental has happened in your life. Maybe you just got married and it's 6 a.m. and you're heading off to work, but you turn around right before you leave the bedroom and you see your beautiful wife laying there still asleep and you think, man, what's next? Maybe you just had your first child and you see your husband holding this precious little baby, and you can't help but think, wow, what's next? Or maybe it's your first day of retirement, and you wake up and you go into the kitchen to drink a cup of coffee, you look out the window, and you can't help but think, what's next? Or perhaps you're a senior in high school, and you just walked across the stage, you just shook your principal's hand, you received your diploma, and as the ceremony ends and everyone begins throwing their caps into the air, you look around for a moment, trying to make everything just pause for a second, and you think to yourself, what in the world is next? Next can be a scary thing. Now is all right. I'm okay with now. Now, me and now are pretty cool, but next? Next can be scary because I don't necessarily know what is next. Jesus' disciples also didn't know what was going to happen next. In the beginning of the book of Acts, Jesus gathers around his disciples and he talks to them one last time. Starting in chapter 1, verse 4, this is what it says. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has just been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." And he was gone. The Lord, the Lamb, the King, this man that they had followed around for so long was physically gone. I like to imagine that the disciples just didn't know what was next. I like to imagine that they were left there standing amazed, but also a little fearful about what life was going to be like without Jesus being there with them. Something monumental has just happened, and they're left thinking to themselves, well, what's next? I love how Jesus never takes a moment for granted. Even here in this moment when he's about to ascend into heaven, he sees it as a teaching moment. And before he's lifted up before their very eyes, he teaches them something new. Jesus leaves them with three different things that is sort of an answer to their what's next question. He tells them to wait for the Holy Spirit. He tells them to speak his name, and they're instructed to go. Jesus, here in the book of Acts, is sort of establishing what it will mean to be a follower of Him after He's gone. So He's sort of saying, hey, I'm leaving, but here's a roadmap for you to get wherever you need to go. So if our question is what's next, then our answer here in Acts, Jesus' answer here in Acts is you wait for the Holy Spirit, you speak my name, and you go. I love how the first thing Jesus commands his disciples to do is wait for the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is active. It is moving. It is alive. And Jesus tells his followers here that whatever they're about to do can wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to come first. And if you know this story in Acts 2, this is Acts 1, in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit descends on this room where the disciples are and they begin speaking different languages. The Holy Spirit is powerful. And the advice Jesus gives his disciples here in Acts 1 is advice that we also need to listen to. When we begin asking the question, what's next? We need to first ask ourselves the question, are we walking within the rhythms of God's Spirit? Are we waiting on the Spirit to move, or are we going to try and give it a go alone? Oftentimes, our first inclination is to cross our fingers and hope that we made the right decision. But here in the beginning of Acts, Jesus is telling us that we need to wait on the Spirit and allow it to move. So let me ask you a question. Are you allowing the Spirit of God to move in your life right now? Or maybe a better question would be, are you allowing God's Spirit to move you in your life right now? Because it requires a conscious effort on our part to walk within the rhythms of God's Spirit. You see, there's a difference in walking within something and being caught up in something. When I walk, I am making a conscious effort to do so. But when I'm caught up in something, I don't necessarily choose to be caught up in something. Let me tell you something. You and I are caught up in the rhythms of God's love. He loves you, and there's nothing that you can do about it. You and I are caught up in the rhythms of God's grace. He has mercy for you, and there is nothing that you can do about it. You and I are caught up within the rhythms of God's Spirit. He wants you to experience the power of His Holy Spirit, and there is nothing that you can do about it but to walk within the rhythms of God's love, to walk within the rhythms of God's grace, to walk within the rhythms of God's Spirit. We've got to choose that. That's why Jesus tells his disciples here to wait on the Spirit here in Acts. He wants them to know that the Spirit's coming, and when it comes, they are absolutely going to be caught up in it. But when the tongues of fire die down, are they going to choose to continue walking with the Spirit? Hey, seniors, wait for the Holy Spirit. I know you've got questions, and I know you have worries, and I know you have stress going through your minds right now. I know you're asking yourself the question, what's next? But my prayer for you is that whatever you do, you walk in spirit and in truth. Hey, church, wait for the Holy Spirit. I know you've got questions, and I know you have worries, and I know you have stress going through your minds right now. I know you're asking yourself the question, what's next? But my prayer for you is that in whatever you do, whatever might come, you walk in spirit and in truth. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray that we be people who walk with you. I pray that we experience the transformative power of your Spirit that dwells inside of us, and I pray that we never leave you and you never leave us. Amen. The greatest gift that God gives us is life. That's the story of the Gospels in a nutshell. God sees his people in need of rescuing, and he executes a plan. And that plan was to send his Son to dwell amongst all of us and to die for all of the sins that we made and to rise again, conquering death and giving his followers eternal life. Through his death, we receive life. His death makes way for the life that we now have. Because of this amazing sacrifice, because of this selfless act, his name will forever be the greatest name to ever be spoken. And his name is Jesus. So what's next? We wait for the Holy Spirit and we speak his name. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We speak the name of Jesus in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That pretty much covers it all. Well, I don't know if I need to speak the name of Jesus over there. No? It's pretty clear here, to the ends of the earth. Listen to me when I say this. There is not one person, there is not one place, there is not one city that does not need to hear the name of Jesus. And our role in all of this is to speak that name. Mary spoke the name of Jesus. Peter spoke the name of Jesus. Paul spoke the name of Jesus. John spoke the name of Jesus. Isaiah spoke the name of Jesus. Even Jesus spoke the name of Jesus. And when we become people who speak the name of Jesus, his name begins to spread like wildfire, and we begin to help make him famous. But it doesn't stop there. Not only does Jesus' name begin to spread, but his message also begins to spread. Because the name of Jesus is so intricate, his message also begins to spread. You see, the name of Jesus and the message of Jesus go hand in hand. Where his name goes, his message goes also. When someone hears the name of Jesus for the first time, they also hear his message. They also hear his story, and they also begin to understand how they are supposed to participate in that story. So how can I participate in a story that requires me to speak the name of Jesus? Let me think about that for a second. I speak the name of Jesus. Hey, seniors, be people who speak the name of Jesus. I know it's going to be hard at times, and I know that it's not going to be the popular thing to do. I know that there are going to be times where you will absolutely be made fun of because of the things you believe and the God that you put your faith in. But my prayer for you is that in everything that you do, in every place that you go, and every person that you meet, you speak the name of Jesus. Hey, church, be people who speak the name of Jesus. I know it's going to be hard at times, and I know it's not going to be the popular thing to do. I know that there are going to be times when you will absolutely be made fun of because of the things you believe and the God that you put your faith in. But my prayer for you is that in everywhere that you go and every place that you reach and every person that you meet, you speak the name of Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray that we be people who speak the name of Jesus. I pray that every place that we go, we speak his name so that we will follow his command of spreading his name and his message to the ends of the earth. Amen. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." And with a bow and a "talk to you later," Jesus is out of there, leaving the disciples to look up into the sky, nudging one another, saying, "Did you see that?" It's kind of funny, right? These two men show up, presumably angels, and they ask the disciples, "Why are you looking up into the sky? I would be concerned if you weren't looking up into the sky." But nonetheless, these two men reveal something very true about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here, the kingdom of God is moving, and our job is to help make it move a little more. So stop standing around looking up into the sky. Jesus is coming back the same way he just left. And there's a lot of work that needs to be done in the meantime. We wait for the Spirit. We speak his name. And we go. We've got to go. We can't just sit around and wait for Jesus to come back, because there is a lot of redemptive work that we can take part in right now. All throughout Acts, the apostles and the followers of Jesus are going to do amazing redemptive work through this partnership that they have with God. I am someone who is convinced that ever since creation, God has been looking for ways in which he can partner with his people. This is good news, because it means that you and I can partner with God in bringing heaven a little bit closer to earth right now. I believe that there are moments in our lives where the separation between heaven and earth is so thin that we can catch beautiful glimpses of what heaven and redemption really looks like. I don't think that heaven and earth are separate, but I absolutely believe that heaven and earth are overlapped. And if we do our part in this partnership that God wants to have with us, then we can catch a glimpse of what it looks like when all of this brokenness is finally put back together. In order to do all of that, though, we have got to go. We can't just sit around. We can't just fall into the routine of being comfortable. We have to step out of our comfort zones. We have to make a conscious effort to walk within the rhythms of God's Spirit. We've got to be people who go. In order to get to the ends of the earth, we have to go there. In order for people to catch glimpses of what redemption looks like, we have to go to those people. We can't just sit around here and look up into the sky. We've got to go. Hey, seniors, be people who go. Don't just sit around and be content with how things are. Always look for ways in which you can deepen your relationship with God. Try and catch a glimpse of God's kingdom here and now overlapping with our world. Don't just sit around and wait for something to be redeemed, but take an active step and help God in that redemption right now. Hey, church, let's be people who go. Don't just sit around and be content with how things are. Always look for ways in which you can deepen your relationship with God. Try and catch a glimpse of what God's kingdom looks like overlapping with ours. It's beautiful, let me tell you. Don't just sit around and wait for something to be redeemed, but take an active step in helping God in that redemption right now. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray that we are people who go. I pray that we look for ways in which we can bring redemption to this world right now, and we eagerly await the return of your Son. Amen. Seniors, I'm just talking to you guys right now. I am so incredibly blessed to have spent these past few years with you guys. You've brought me so much joy. You've challenged me in ways that I never thought that I would be challenged. And you have made a huge impact on my life. I am eternally grateful for the way in which God has blessed me with you. And my prayer for you is that whatever is next, is that you wait on the Spirit, is that you speak His name, and my prayer for you is that you go.